Scale me up, Scotty. Calculate, got me up late. Gotta make another tray for Sunday. Ay, can't wait, not enough bait. Frost on my opponents, gonna call cupcakes. And it's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick, I'm bad. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the dome. Ain't rather than know the anatomy. Know a value of roses, dandy to know the man. JPAZ, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the DTC Podcast, episode number 182. This is a very special edition. This is 2020 Bold Predictions Podcast. We've done this every single year. What?
Hold on. What happened to the codes? Aren't we coming up with what's the 182 code?
Yeah, we did a codes thing last week. We already had that. It was like conspiracy or something like that. Code 182 police codes was conspiracy.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Yeah, it just wasn't overly interesting, so I skipped it out.
I guess these are going to be conspiracies if we're doing bold predictions, right?
These are conspiracies, yeah. Just we're starting them. We're starting the conspiracies.
Okay.
So anyway, like I was saying, this is the 2020 Bold Predictions Podcast. Every single year, we have our favorite guest, Matt Kelly. What's up, Matt? From Roto Underworld, the Podfather. He's not here, is he? Didn't you call him?
No.
Izzy, what the heck? We've had him like for 5 straight years. This is going to be the first year without him?
We kind of dropped the ball on this.
Oh, no. We screwed up.
I think time got away from us. I didn't even reach out to the Podfather in time, and or at all, even though I would have loved to have him on. By the time we realized that we had to do a bold prediction podcast, it was too late. So here we are.
Well, I guess we're gonna play a match of duos then, huh? Instead of trios.
Yes. Duos.
That
was
a fun tradition. I really enjoyed that. He'd come on And in fact, I listened to last year's podcast and I documented all of our bold predictions so we can at least do like a little bit of a recap session. How do you think about that?
Sure. Yeah.
Let's go through some of these, Izzy. Do you want me to be selective? Do you want me to be nice to you? Or should I just kind of put everything out there?
Whatever. I'm fine with whatever. I mean, they're bold predictions. I'm not expecting them to hit. I don't remember half of them.
Okay. We're just going to put it out there then. So... you and Matt did a bunch of them. I only had a couple, but here's a few. Maybe I'll just kind of like do some highlights. That's what I'll do. I'll do like some of the worst ones and some of the best ones. How about that?
Do the worst and the best.
The worst and the best of 2019 DTC bold predictions. Let's start with the worst. Izzy Elkafoss, the Fair of Fantasy, predicted that Mitch Trubisky would finish as a top 10 fantasy quarterback. Ooh, that one still stings a little bit. It burns and freezes.
Trubisky, man. That guy.
That one hurts.
Hey, it's my fault for expecting year two in Nagy's offense to change Trubisky, and I was wrong.
That one hurts. Another mention for the worst, Matt Kelly predicted that Jacoby Brissett and Marcus Mariota would each finish as a QB1 in 2019. I think Brissett may have been close, but I think he was riddled with some injuries, and Mariota was replaced by Tannehill midseason. So I don't think any of those came to fruition, but those ones didn't quite pan out.
No, yeah.
Another one. This one was mine, Izzy. This was, I had a good feeling about a Green Bay wide receiver finishing the season as a wide receiver too, which is probably not completely a bold prediction, but in this case it was. It was Geronimo Allison. I thought he'd finish in the top 24. He did not. I don't even think he finished in the top 124. So that one makes the worst list.
Definitely in top 124.
I don't know. Maybe if he had one catch, he may have. But that was pretty bad. All right, we'll do another one of Izzy's. And then one of each. So like, I'll do like two of the worst, and then we'll do two of the best. So this will be finishing up the worst. You predicted that Corey Davis would finish as a top 15 fantasy wide receiver in 2019. Didn't quite happen.
I meant A.J. Brown.
Or you meant bottom 15.
Bottom 15, yes.
That's what it was.
God damn, Corey Davis. God damn it.
Yeah, not so good.
Hmm.
And finishing off the worst, because again, I only had one or two predictions, and only one of mine made the worst list, but Matt Kelly predicted. I'm trying to figure out which one. Miles Sanders. Oh, yeah. David Njoku will outscore Zach Ertz. And I don't think he outscored Zach Ertz's wife. Julie Ertz. I think Julie Ertz had more goals than David Njoku had catches.
We'd have to fact check that, but I think you're right.
Just on a whim, that's what I'm going to throw out there. Going on to the top 2019 bold predictions. You ready for the best of 2019, Izzy?
Sure.
Leading the list, I like this one. Matt Kelly predicted that the top rookie wide receiver would be A.J. Brown. Nailed it, right?
I like it.
Just nailed it. I like that one. And I think DK Metcalf was probably right up there with him. So you could probably, this is subjective, by the way.
It's a good prediction.
I like that as a prediction. That was wonderful. Izzy, you've got a couple of good ones from last year. I'm going to try to pick some of the best ones out here. You predicted that Nick Chubb would be a top five dynasty startup asset in 2020. So 1 year fast forward. And I think that he's currently ranked as like a top six, right? So that was like, you almost hit the nail on the head. That was very good.
Pretty close.
Very good. And I think at the time when we were doing the bold predictions, he was, just to make it a little bit more impressive, he wasn't anywhere near the first round. I know a lot of people probably think, well, he's been good for a long time, but he hadn't done it.
Let's see. I can actually, if we use our product.
I'm pretty sure. So he would have been down into the 30s or 40s, maybe. I'm going to say somewhere in the top 50, but.
Let's see.
Is he signing on to DynastyTradeCalculator.com? There's a sweet little tool that enables you to click on a player and review their player trends. So he's going to flash back to last year to see where Nick Chubb. I suppose you can't see him. You can't see where he was ranked amongst his wide receiver or his running back cohorts, right?
No, but I have back.
We'd have to look at historical rankings, or ADP would be best. August 2019 ADP. 14th. He was the RB7, 14th overall, I guess.
I guess not too bold.
That's pretty high.
Not too bold.
Well, that was the not too bold prediction, but still got it. He climbed up all those spots, eight spots.
Who was the top five last year?
Overall?
Yeah, it was
Saquon, Kamara, McCaffrey, Zeke, and Hopkins.
Yeah, I mean, I guess relative to who he'd have to jump, I guess it would be tough for him to get. It would have been tough for him to get in the top five.
Yeah, potentially.
Because he was still relatively unproven. I would say it's bold, but not the boldest.
Yeah. So looking back at last year, I didn't see a lot of other great predictions, actually. There was a bunch of like middling ones that weren't great or weren't bad, but that's you and Matt Kelly's AJ Brown prediction were really the only good two. That's kind of sad, huh?
Yeah. You did put a bet in Vegas. You have a betting ticket.
Yep. I was going to say I had an honorable mention. I placed a bet in Vegas. I actually placed two season long bets. I'm a very conservative person, so I don't make a lot of bets. So I put $10 on, I think, Adam Thielen to lead the league in receiving yards. That didn't work. I liked it was like 16-1. What do you say? Is that plus 1,600? Is that how you say 16-1?
Yeah.
And then also placed a $10 bet on Derrick Henry plus 1,500 to win the rushing title. And lo and behold, he pulled through. Like, I think he rushed for like 230 some yards in the final week to take it down for me. I had to mail my, did I mention that to you, by the way?
No,
I had to mail my stub into Caesar's Palace to collect my winnings because they were closed for so long.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, because if you don't cash in within a year, I don't know if it's within a year of winning or whatever, it's void. Yeah.
Mm.
So I had to research and mail it in and email them and stuff. It was kind of this big debacle for $150.
Yeah, wow.
But hey, I won. And I think I won back all the money that I spent there. So that was a big win for me.
I like it.
And meanwhile, Izzy is placing bets with the amount of all of that I won, single bets.
Yeah. How did that work?
This episode is sponsored by 1-800-BETS-OFF. Do you have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF /Izzy. Well, that's it. That's all of the 2019 recap. Shall we move into the 2020 bold predictions?
Yes.
Mosier, This is a very exciting time of year for us. We are sitting right now on a Tuesday in September, 2 days from the kickoff of the NFL season. This is probably my favorite segment each year. So, like, let's do something special. Last year, we did like the Fox NFL Sunday theme song leading into the segment. So I think we should do something like that. Maybe like the Izzy, pick which NFL, what's your favorite NFL song to get you jazzed for the season?
The old Burger King commercial.
Oh, yeah. The burn, 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 yeah. Burn.
Yes.
That one?
Easily the best one.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. You want to start with...
Let's start with QB. Seems like the right place to start. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, that's... I'm fine with that.
All right. Give me a QB bold prediction.
I'm scared of this one. But I think it might happen. So I'm going with it. Kirk Cousins, top 10 fantasy quarterback.
What?
Yeah. I just think the move to the Coob, I think the move to the Coob is going to help him. He's always been a very efficient quarterback, and he's always been pretty durable. So a lot of these guys that are ahead of him that have durability issues, like the Carson Wentz and Matt Stafford hasn't had a ton of durability issues. But Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers has been hurt. You know, guys like Cam Newton who have been hurt. A lot of these guys are projected to be ahead of him. I can see them getting hurt again, you know? So now I'm going with,
okay.
I don't think the Joe Burrows and the Tuas and the Baker Mayfields will. I think Sam Darnold's got a bad situation. Drew Lock and Daniel Jones are dice rolls. You know, Matt Ryan, steady Eddie. I can see him being in there. Carson Wentz, he gets hurt. So I think he's not guaranteed to be top 10 based on that. And then Josh Allen, I know people are still worried about him. They might just run the ball to death. I can see Kirk Cousins. I can see him being a top 10. I could say he's going to be a top 12. He's going to be a QB1. I think that's probably a safer bet, but this is a bold prediction. I waffled between Jared Goff being a top 5, which would have been super bold, or Kirk Cousins being top 10. And those are, let's just go with both of them.
That's cool. Like I predicted, there's some crossover. So like you've mentioned one of my other bolds, but I will agree with you. I had Jared Goff as a top 5 quarterback in 2020.
Okay, good. I'll let you have that one then.
No, we can share it. So like I just my only other note that I had is that I like to analyze trends, and that's one thing that you'll see as a kind of a theme as I go through my bold predictions is that looking at late in the season, Jared Goff actually was the QB6 in weeks 13 through 17, final 5 weeks of the regular season. And I like to see that upward trend, and there was a bunch of missed opportunities that he had. I saw somebody tweeted something out about how many times that a wide receiver was stopped short and Jared Goff could have had exponentially more touchdowns in 2019. And those are big enough to change the face of the top like 10 quarterbacks. But I agree. Jared Goff, top 5. And my other one, you kind of blew past him, like disregarding him a little bit, but I've got Sam Darnold, and you're not as bold as I am. I've got Sam Darnold as a top 7 QB in 2020.
Yeah, see, it's not going to happen.
And here's the funny thing. I added another league in passing yards. I'm not going to go so bold as to say that, but I just want to give you an idea of how bold this is. Again, analyzing trends in weeks 18 through 8 through 17, so like the last half of the season, he was a QB9. And you're saying like he's in a bad situation, but honestly, is it much different from last year?
No.
So the first half of the season was kind of like a throwaway for him. He was sick. He had mono. I think that impacted him 4 or 5 weeks, maybe even more.
He just couldn't
quite get things going. What's that?
He was seeing ghosts.
He was seeing ghosts. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just couldn't
remember
quite
he
get
came
things
back.
Going until.
What was it? Didn't he have like 5 picks in a game? Who was he playing against?
Yes. I think it was week 6 or 7. And he had negative points that game.
By a lot. Yeah. A lot of negative points.
Yeah, that was
and he
bad.
Said he was seeing
a lot
of
negative points.
Poor guy.
There you go. But yeah, so last half of the season, very productive. And I think we can see that continuing. Again, the only thing that's really changed is they added another, you know, wide receiver that isn't really worth mentioning completely. But I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be finished as a top 7 quarterback, which would be a slight improvement on the second half of the last season.
Okay, I like it.
So we shared Goff. You had
Cousins, top 10.
Kirk Cousins, and I had Darnold. So that's pretty good. Do you have any more quarterbacks? I've got one more if you don't.
This is a real shot in the dark. And not shot in the dark. I don't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's just the I think Nick Mullins is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. But I don't know if the San Francisco defense is going to be bad enough for them to replace Jimmy G. I think they'll continue to win because of their defense. But my Super Bowl prediction at quarterback is Nick Mullins will replace Jimmy Garoppolo at some point in time in the season.
Ouch. This is like your Mariota Tannehill prediction from last year.
Yeah, that didn't. How did that not make the cut? I guess I didn't say it on the pod.
It was undocumented, yeah.
It was just a document on a different podcast. So yeah, this is my Tannehill Mariota prediction.
Ouch. Yeah, that hurts. That hurts for Jimmy G. Ouch. I like that one. My other bold prediction at quarterback is like a good prediction. And you're gonna kinda like laugh at me a bit on this one. I believe that Aaron Rodgers will finish the season as a top four quarterback. And just to give you an idea of how bold this is, again, Vegas has him leading the NFL in passing as plus 3,000. So not a good chance of this happening. But I like Aaron Rodgers with a bounce back season, like a little bit more familiarity with the offense. And he's just due, you know, like I got one of these gut feelings that Aaron Rodgers will kind of return to his old form. He's just been kind of waiting for he's looked so bad these last couple years, but he's back.
He's back. Okay. I like it.
He's back. All right, let's move on to, I want to finish with running back.
Really? Okay.
Well, do you want to finish with like tight end or wide receiver?
No, we can talk tight end. It's fine.
All right, let's go to tight end. I've only got one, so I'll let you go first if you got more than one.
Darren Waller, top three tight end this year.
I like it. Yeah, you're sticking to your guns on that when you've been saying that all off season.
Darren Waller, top three tight end. It'll be hard. I think it'll be hard for him to sneak in the. It'll be hard for him to sneak in the top three, but I would not be surprised if Waller was one or two. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. But I'm gonna say three, so it's not super bold. I'm gonna say top three tight end, Darren Waller.
It's still pretty bold.
You know what?
Him that high.
Forget it. We're going wider. We're going tight end two. I'm gonna go tight end two. Mm-hmm.
That's big.
I'm gonna say that. He outproduces Kittle, second behind Kelsey.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going for it.
That is what they would say, pretty bold.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I've got one tight end, and it's equally bold, and maybe I'll even say it too. I'm gonna stick with my bolder side, because I put down like bolder and a little bit more safe. So we're gonna go with the extra bold sauce on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Tyler Higbee as a top three tight end in 2020. And again, analyzing trends. So I think once again, going back to the Jared Goff thing, I think Jared Goff spikes way up. And I think the biggest benefactor for that with Cook gone is Higbee. And analyzing some trends, did you know that he was the tight end 35 through the first 12 weeks? So like not good. And that's probably enough to stain his name.
I know how good he was. Oh, yeah. The last handful of games, I definitely remember.
Last five games, he was the tight end one and he finished the season as tight end eight. So top three doesn't sound too bold when you look at his last season as a larger picture. But when you look at those first 12 weeks, it's pretty brutal. But again, I think Jared Goff steps up. I think Higbee is the main benefactor. And I think he ends up as a top three tight end in 2020. That was the first bold prediction I wrote down for this season.
So, I like it.
There we go. Tight ends. And then you got probably one more, I'm guessing.
I got two more. I'll give you my two.
Reel them off.
Chris Herndon, top 10.
Chris Herndon. Wow.
Top 10. Top 10 tight end. And Jaden Graham will lead the Falcons tight ends in fantasy points.
You know what's crazy about your bold prediction is that just before we started recording a podcast, I've got a friend of mine who's in a startup draft. I shouldn't say startup draft. It's a draft and it's a redraft league. And he asked me if he should pick Herndon or Hurst.
Oh.
And I think you've kind of answered the question, but I told him to pick Hurst because Hurst carries more value right now. But
he's safer. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is a bold prediction. Here's the thing. I've made historically I keep making bold predictions on injury-prone players, and Chris Herndon fits that bill, and I should learn my lesson. Because every time I make a bold prediction, the player gets hurt. But and Herndon is definitely not a guy that's a good health type of player, but I'm going to roll with it. Top 10.
I like it. Wow, that is bold. And what's your final tight end bold prediction?
I threw in Jaden Graham. Remember?
Oh, Jaden Graham, it was a two-part one. I got you.
Yeah, Jaden Graham, it's just that was my third one because he didn't have another one. So Jaden Graham will lead the Falcons tight ends in fantasy points.
Wow. All right, it's time for wide receivers. I'll start with wide receivers. I've been forcing you to go first each time. This person in Vegas is plus 3,000 to lead the league in receiving yards. And I'm going to pick him to be the 2020 NFL leading wide receiver in receiving yards. Can you guess who it is? It's plus 3,000.
Plus 3,000 to lead the league in receiving yards.
Yep, 30-1. This is my guy in 2020 at wide receiver. My guy.
Your guy to lead the league. Plus 3,000. Let me think here.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that you're going to come close to this here.
Really? I don't think so. I literally have no idea.
That's awesome.
Can't be in the top five guys.
Not at plus 3,000, it can't. Nope.
I don't think Allen Robinson?
No, he's not my guy. I've been full court pressing to get this guy in every league possible.
Don't tell me it's Juju.
It's Juju Smith-Schuster.
Okay.
I'm making a push, and like people are just disrespecting him. To see that Vegas has him all the way down that low makes me want to like fly out to Vegas just for like 2 hours so I can go to Caesar's Palace, the sports book, place a bet, come back. I suppose I can try to find a way to do it online. Are we sponsored by any online betting sites right now?
My bookie was a sponsor at one point, right?
Yeah, we did for a while.
All right, so let's give him a free promotion.
My bookie. Was it my boogie?
I still use my bookie.
My bookie. Okay. I know you do. You're a fiend, they say.
Mm.
They say you walk here and there. All right, what are your wide receiver bold predictions for 2020? Izzy, go.
You only had one.
That's it. That's all I got. So you get to reel off several. I'm assuming you've got a couple of them.
What if I have a bold prediction the opposite way? Are we doing that or do we want to keep it positive?
No. I like because you've already said one with a quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, you said the Jimmy Garoppolo one. That was a...
Oh, yeah, that's true. The other way. Okay, ready? Stephon Diggs.
Oh, no.
Finishes outside the top 24.
Okay, so a little bold.
He'll be a wide receiver. He will not be a wide receiver 1 or 2 this year. He'll be a wide receiver 3.
All right, so I got to put this out there really quick before you continue. Every year, Izzy and I will discuss statistics of players and stuff like that. We'll always make little fun side bets with buddies. And I think this could be our first one of this year, Izzy. I will take that bet.
We already have one with Diggs. No, it was this year. We have it at like 90.
Okay, let me pull up. I got a notes. Let me pull up my notes. You want to take a look at last year? We do. You're right. Izzy thinks this is last year. Izzy thought that Edelman would finish lower than wide receiver 18. Winner for Johnny.
Nice.
Izzy thought that Crowder would finish with more points than Robbie Anderson in PPR from week 7 on. Izzy, you won that one by like 6 points. So I'm crossing those off the list. We finished them. And now you think Diggs will have less than 97 targets in 2020. I like that bet for Johnny. Ooh!
I think that number is a little low. I think he'll come around like right around 100. If I could reset the line to be like 100.5, but I'm okay with the number that I have.
I like that. Okay, so I take it back. We do not have another bet because we already did it. That's hilarious that it was they're both around Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
So continue. You were going to give maybe an explanation of why you feel Diggs is not going to finish wide receiver 2.
I just don't think the volume is going to be there with the amount. Okay, I think they're going to have very positive game scripts. So I think there's going to be a lot of running. They brought in Zach Moss. They got Singletary. Josh Allen likes to run the ball. He hasn't been a historically accurate passer, and I don't think the volume is going to be there. So I also think Diggs, he's been lucky. He's been fortunate to stay healthy, but he's been injury prone I mean, that was a big reason why he fell in the NFL draft when he came out of Maryland. Is he was injury prone. So I think a lot of that, you know, the cold weather in Buffalo, you know, Minnesota, they play in a dome. They play in closed, no, not dome now, but it's not open air. So I think the fact that they have John Brown, they have Cole Beasley there from last year. Allen has chemistry with those guys. You're bringing in a third guy in a low volume passing offense that likes to run the ball and have positive running back game scripts. I just don't think that he's going to have enough volume to be a top 24 receiver. And I think he's going to be the biggest bust at receiver.
Wow.
On the flip side, his former teammate, Adam Thielen, will finish top five in fantasy points per game.
Wow.
In 2020.
That's pretty bold, man.
I'm doing the Cousins, and here's the thing. I am not not a Vikings homer. You know that better than anybody. Yep. I am not a Vikings homer, but I'm taking the Cousins Thielen stack here.
And they're really, yeah, you're right. I mean, unless you think that Justin Jefferson can get up to speed really quickly, or Olabisi Johnson is the guy.
No.
There's really not a lot else on that team. I mean, maybe it's got to be Kyle Rudolph. I mean, maybe you think this is the year that Irv Smith Jr. takes a step forward, but it's just really, there's not a lot of other great options, right?
Yeah.
Not yet. I think Irv's coming, yeah. And Justin Jefferson also coming, but they're just maybe not right away.
Mm-hmm.
Going to take some time. Wow. So those are your two?
So far. I can keep going.
I like this. Let's just, we can have this be conversational.
Deontay Johnson will be the wide receiver one. Deontay Johnson will be the wide receiver one. Yeah, I've been on it since January. Deontay Johnson will be the wide receiver one in Pittsburgh and finish top 16.
Oh, that contradicts my Juju one. Dang it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of us will be right. And I mean, maybe we could both be wrong, actually. Maybe it's going to be Washington.
Nah, yeah, icky. Michael Gallup will lead the Cowboys and will be a wide receiver one. I mean, I don't think there's enough.
I know.
There's way too many options there for him to be the overall wide receiver one. And the fact, I think it's a stretch for him to be a top 12 wide receiver, even if he's the wide receiver one in Dallas. I think there's going to be enough spreading of the football there, but that's my bold prediction with Gallup.
I don't like that one either. I would contest that and say Coop has his best year yet.
No, I'm over Cooper. He's a wide receiver too. He's a wide receiver too,
just like OBJ.
I love Cooper. He's a technician. I love technicians, but he's just not a bona fide wide receiver one. And I get this feeling that Michael Gallup can be that guy.
Okay. I mean, I own Gallup in a few places, so I wouldn't mind if you're right, but I'm gonna stick with Coop. All right, is that what you got for wide receivers? Are there more?
Yeah, Brandon Ayuk will lead all rookie receivers in fantasy points.
Wow.
Yep.
Any explanation? Just going to throw that out there and walk away like my business.
So I think if you look across all of the, you know, with Judy and Sutton, I think Sutton's a bona fide wide receiver one. I think he's a stud. So I think Judy will always be the second receiver there. You look at CeeDee Lamb, he's got two studs in front of him. He won't be, I don't see him being the top option. I can see Henry Ruggs, I love Ruggs, but I can see, you know, Renfro and Waller and Edwards eating up some target share. Rager, he's not healthy, so I think he gets off to a slow start. You got Justin Jefferson, who, as you and I both know in Minnesota, all signs point to him being starting off on the wrong foot. He's not showing out well in Minnesota. Michael Pittman, Denzel Mims. Mims is nursing an injury. When you look at Ayuk, Deebo Samuel might not be ready to start the season.
He was just activated, but yeah, maybe not.
Okay. but he might not be ready for week one full workload. He might not be ready for the first couple weeks. He's still got to get up to speed. And it really is just George Kittle there and Kendrick Bourne. I think Ayuk gets off to a solid start. San Fran manufactures touches for their playmakers. And Ayuk is similar to Deebo, where they're very good after the catch and after the touch. So they got good yak. But the difference between Deebo and Ayuk is, I think Ayuk is a guy that can stretch the field and he can do everything on a football field. He just needs more polish. But if San Fran's going to manufacture touches for him, I really think that he could be not only the wide receiver one for the rookies, I think he might outscore Deebo this year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And not even outscore Deebo when Deebo's hurt, taking the 16 games versus the 14 games or whatever. I think that per game, I think IU can outscore Deebo Samuel.
Impressive.
Similar to how A.J. Brown outscored Corey Davis.
It must pain you to have a positive, bold prediction on a San Francisco wide receiver, knowing how much you dislike Jimmy Garoppolo.
I dislike Jimmy Garoppolo very much. But what Shanahan does and what we saw last year is Jimmy Garoppolo is capable of getting the ball out to his first read, but he's not very good after that first read, after that pass isn't there. So when you're going through progressions, he's just not second and third reads. You're going to get a very errant Jimmy Garoppolo. So, yeah.
There you go. So I say we move on, finish things off with running backs. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, Jameson Crowder, he's my, just to let everybody know, he's my free bingo tile this year. Jameson Crowder will finish top 10 in targets at the receiver position.
Oh, 69.
Top 10 in targets, Jameson Crowder. Once again, I'm putting money on a guy that gets hurt. But if you like Darnold top 7, then you better like Jameson Crowder as top 10 target getter.
Crowder and Perriman.
Yeah.
And Bell.
I think Crowder will have 100 receptions. I think he'll comfortably have 100 receptions.
Wow, that's nice. So you're going to feel a little bit better about Darnold after kind of reviewing things, I think. Because you like Herndon and Crowder.
I do like Herndon and Crowder.
Wow.
But I think that's all they got. I mean, I don't believe in Perriman. I don't think Mims is going to come out right away. I don't think he's ready to be the guy right away.
Yeah, but so you got Herndon, Crowder, and Bell.
It's not enough.
Okay.
And I don't think Bell's that. I'm not big on Bell. But yeah.
Yeah, but you can't disregard his impact that he's capable of having in the passing game.
Sure, but just because Herndon and Crowder can do well, and this is just volume, so I think they're going to get the volume, but I don't think Jameson Crowder is going to be like a 1,500-yard receiver.
So no, not high-quality targets.
So if Jameson Crowder is not, who's going to be their 1,500-yard receiver? If in order for Darnold to lead the league in passing and be a high, 4,500-yard passer type, you're going to need a guy that hits 1,300 to 1,500. They don't have that guy.
Yeah, and again, to be clear, I didn't say he'll lead the league in passing, but yeah,
right,
I hear what you're saying.
He's going to need to lead the league, but he's going to have to be pretty high in passing in order for him to be top 7, unless you think he's going to have a high touchdown rate.
Yep.
Which is possible.
Always possible, yeah. It's not something that I'm predicting around my prediction. Like, that wouldn't be a very smart thing to factor in,
Yeah.
Touchdowns are erratic.
Very good. And then the last one I'll give you is, I think Steven Sims Jr. finishes as a wide receiver 3.
Wow. Oh, so top 36.
Top 36.
Yeah, I mean, who else, right? I mean, I like Calvin Harmon, but he's banged up already, right?
No, he's on IR. He's out for the year.
Yep. That was quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's McLaurin.
McLovin. Yeah. Just McLovin.
Yeah. Not a lot of great, options anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is pretty bold. All right. A wide receiver 3. He might even be on waiver wires in some shallower leagues.
Oh yeah.
Very impressive. So that's all we got. All we got for wide receivers. That was a lot. You had a lot.
They were quick. I had what? 5?
7, I think.
7. All right.
There was a lot.
I know, 7, yeah, 7.
Seems like so long ago I talked about Juju.
Juju.
Juju. So running backs, we'll finish things off with running backs, and then we'll say see you later. I've only got one running back, too. I thought we were going to be...
What are you doing?
I don't know. I could manufacture some more, but I've got one prepared that I kind of really dug into. I wanted to be really thoughtful with some of mine, so...
Okay. Go ahead. I want to hear yours.
I got a really strong feeling this is the one outside of the... I was a little bit surprised we crossed over at quarterback a little bit, but this is the one that I would assume the most crossover right here. I am projecting Joe Mixon to be a top three running back in 2020.
Ahead of? Like, who is he behind? You think he's going to be Barkley, McCaffrey, Mixon? Or am I missing something?
That would be the safe... Yeah, that would be the safe choices. Barkley and McCaffrey would outscore him, yeah.
Fair.
And what, again, analyzing trends, he was the running back 13 in 2019, so it wouldn't be like moving up 10 spots on a year where the offense is kind of restructured. Joe Burrow comes. I think you got to respect Joe Burrow more than whatever they had back there under center last year. I think Burrow kind of like unlocks that offense a little bit to a degree. I know that I'm expecting a lot out of his rookie season, but I think that defenses will have to kind of play the pass a little bit more. Their offensive line cannot get any worse than it was last year and the year before. And I think Joe Mixon now is comfortable in the offense. He's going to find lanes. He's going to pop off top three fantasy football running back. So, like I said, I mentioned last year that he was a running back 13. In my trend analyzing portion of it, the first half of the season, he was the running back 36. So he proposed to owners a great opportunity to buy him at a very discounted rate with how poorly he was performing. And he actually finished as the running back 4 in the second half of the season, is he? So you asked, like, who would he outscore? He kind of just did that in the second half, basically. He needs to kind of progress one slot.
Yeah, fair enough. And there is already some injuries and players being rested and that type of thing. But I get it.
I think the recipe is perfect for Mixon to become a top three running back. And this will kind of lead the way for him to become a first round. He's probably not a first round. He's probably a second round draft pick right now. But yeah, he'll be a top 10 pick next year in startups.
Hmm. I like it.
So I'm guessing you didn't have anything prepared around Joe Mixon based off your reaction.
No, I like Joe Mixon. I think that's pretty bold. I think it's very bold. Yeah, I like it.
All right.
Okay. I worry because once again, Jacobs is not a durability guy, but I think Josh Jacobs will not only finish as a top five running back, he will be a top five running back startup pick next year and a top 10 overall.
Wow. So this is your...
This is my Nick Chubb of...
This is your Nick Chubb of 2020, yeah.
Yep. And here's the thing. You got Barkley, you got McCaffrey, you got Zeke, you got Kamara, you got Chubb, you got Cook, you got Clyde, you got Mixon, you got Jonathan Taylor, you got Miles Sanders, you got Derrick Henry, you got like the J.K. Dobbinses and the DeAndre Swifts. Like, there's a lot of running backs that could jostle for top five status next year. Mm-hmm. I think Jacobs cracks it.
Wow. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked.
I think McCaffrey and Barkley, I think the top five next year, you can almost, let's write this down. I'll give you my top five startup running backs next year.
I'll try to guess them. I think it's going to be Saquon, and I like Saquon ahead of McCaffrey personally. I'm not sure how you feel about that, but Saquon and McCaffrey interchangeable currently. And then I think you probably got Zeke. I don't know that you like Zeke there very much. And then I think you probably have... So Josh Jacobs, like you mentioned. And your number five, who would Izzy's number five be? Ah, you like Chubb still. So I think you'll keep Chubb there. What do you think?
So here's my bold top five for next year. I think Zeke, Kamara, fallout. I think it's McCaffrey, Barkley, Chubb, Jacobs, and Miles Sanders.
Ooh, Miles pokes in there too, eh?
Mm-hmm. I think Clyde will come in. The thing is, the reason why I don't want to put Clyde in my top five is I don't even know if he's like great yet. Like, we've seen these other guys play, so it feels like it seems like okay, well, Clyde is going to be a top five asset. I think if Clyde hits, he will absolutely be in the top five. But why throw that in the gamble?
Yeah,
right. So I think that's going to be the top five next year. McCaffrey, Barkley, Chubb, Jacobs, Miles Sanders.
I like it. Wow. Some fresh faces.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one. All right. We got it. We're going to cover it next year. Good or bad.
Can't wait. Oh, this is gonna, I mean, these are, I, here's the thing. I'm putting my money down on these guys and hopefully they stay healthy. Yeah. And if they meet the ceiling expectations that I have for them or that we have for them, then these things are going to pan out.
Yeah. But, man. Yeah. These are, we're going to, some of these, I just can't wait to recover next year because they're going to be like, what the hell was I thinking? Darnold is a top seven and he was like replaced by Flacco.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's what makes it fun. I mean, that's what makes it bold.
I agree. All right. What else you got for running backs?
That's it. I think outside of like the top 12 running backs, I am terrified of all of them. So
who's going to be the rushing leader in 2020? And this is not, doesn't have to be bold, but like, I don't think that Derrick Henry repeats, even though he's the odds on favorite in Vegas right now.
If I'm putting money down, I'm putting money down on Chubb or Henry. I think with Stefanski in Cleveland, I think they're going to run the ball so much there. That he could do it. I mean, I think that's the outside shot is Chubb. I wonder what Chubb is in Vegas. Do you have that up?
And was it Chubb? What Chubb was number two? By the way, Chubb was the rushing leader in. I'll have to look it up here. Chubb was the rushing leader in 2019 until Derrick Henry's big last game. So he's the one that unseated him.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, with Stefanski there, you got to assume they're going to run even more. So I think Chubb and Derrick Henry would be my odds-on favorites. I can see
Chubb's plus 1,300. It's actually a pretty good bet. Derrick Henry plus 750, and then it was Zeke, McCaffrey, Barkley. And I think it's kind of funny. I wouldn't ever consider McCaffrey as a favorite to win the rushing title.
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to be ahead enough games for him to run that. I think he's obviously. All of his touches are going to come in the receiving game. I just don't think he's enough rushing volume to be the rushing leader. It's possible. He's that dynamic.
Yeah. And then Saquon and Chubb are both plus 1,300.
Yeah, I think Zeke is the one that their offensive line is going to be a lot worse than people think. I mean, they've lost quite a bit on the offensive line, and they got three stud receivers. I can see them throwing the ball a little bit more. Dalvin Cook gets hurt too much. Clyde and Jonathan Taylor, we don't know. Joe Mixon is a outside possibility at it. I just don't think Cincinnati's gonna be good enough. I don't know if he's gonna get enough volume to get there. Yeah. So I think honestly, Henry and Chubb would be my leading candidates.
And we're gonna finish things off with a little bit of a pop quiz, like a quiz show for you. Who do you think that are the Vegas odds-on favorite to win the passing title in 2020? I will give you as much money as you're gonna put on your favorite candidates to bet if you get at least four of these five right in the top five.
So who do they have in the top five?
Who do they have in the top five as the odds on favorite to win the passing title?
Okay, so Mahomes is the free square.
Mahomes, yep. He's plus 400. He's number one.
Matt Ryan?
He's number two, plus 600. I said you got to get four, right?
Yeah. Said four to the five. Vegas odds. Watson?
Deshaun Watson is 7th at plus 2,000.
Okay.
Guess losing Hopkins, Vegas no likey.
Yeah, yeah. What about Jared Goff?
Jared Goff was number five at plus 900. Yeah. I didn't expect you to get him.
Well, he threw for like 4,500 last year.
So you get one more guess and you got to get it right. There's two left.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Plus 800, number three. The one that I didn't think you'd get, it was Goff, and at number four, Tom Brady at plus 900. I don't know why he's in there, but maybe he's still, maybe, I don't know. I don't know if I put him ahead of a lot of these, but the reason I wanted to bring this up is because your boy, Matt Stafford, comes in at number six at plus 1,400 to lead the league in passing yards. Wow.
I would have guessed him, but it wouldn't have been... I figured you wouldn't ask me that if Stafford was in there because it would have been too obvious.
Yeah, dang it. I should have phrased it. Yeah, I should have phrased it different. Screwed myself on that one. Good job. Good guesses. You got four of the five. Now I owe you a lot of money.
Yes. Excellent.
So much money. Then you can put it all on Matt Stafford.
Yes, I can't wait. Are you excited or what? We got 2 days left.
I'm pretty pumped, man. I can't wait to watch football. And by the time people are listening to this, it's like 1 day or 0 days. So mm-hmm. I'm excited. It's going to be so good.
I think it's KC in Houston.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very good.
I've been it's one of those things. I don't know if it's the preseason being gone or what. I feel like I'm so reliant on watching these guys play in the preseason and kind of getting an idea of what's going on before making trades.
Yep.
I've made very few trades in August relative mm-hmm. to what I've done in the past, just because there's just so much unknown.
Yeah, you're right though. It's an anomaly. So I think there are fewer trades going down because there's less changes, less injuries, less news. But also there's fewer ad drops on waiver wires because usually this is the time of year when you see like, oh my gosh, like, do you remember when, was it Kenny Stills in New Orleans when he was a rookie and he just like caught this 90-yard bomb in preseason, like one of the first snaps of the game from Drew Brees, and it was like, oh, I got to pick him up. That stuff isn't happening right now, you know? It's wild.
No Kenbrell Tompkins. You know?
No Kenbrell Tompkins. Ooh, that's a blast from the past right there.
Yeah.
My God. All right, well, that's it. I'm jazzed. I can't wait for the first week. The first Sunday is just going to be blissful. I got to sign up for NFL Sunday Ticket again. Dang it. I always forget to do that. Anyway, sign up for NFL Sunday Ticket. We're sponsored. This show is sponsored by them, so sign up for them. Like, they're paying us so much money right now for this show, this spot, because we get tens of millions of listeners weekly on this podcast. So sign up for NFL Sunday Ticket. Enjoy the first week of the NFL football season, and we'll follow up with you guys next week. Can't wait to see all these bowl predictions pan out. And maybe even like midway through the season, we'll do like a quick little recap midway. But I can't wait for next season to find out how we did. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the first week. Bye.